No matter what situation you are facing, the Word of God has the answer. Now let's join Kenneth Copeland from the Southwest Believers Convention on today's Believer's Voice of Victory.
Now, go back in here with me in this fourth chapter. There is no fear in love. Aha! Well, of course not. God is love. There ain't no fear in Him. The only way I'm going to have any fear is if I find out He's got some and He wants to give it to me. But there ain't no fear in Him. So fear is an enemy, and I'm just not going to tolerate that. I am not going to tolerate it. Now notice, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Now remember, whoso keepeth His word, in him is the love of God perfected. Perfected love casteth out fear. Can you see the connection? It's acting on that word. It's activating that word. It's activating the faith in it. And actually, the result of that is rebuking fear and casting it out. But until you activate love, until you get over on the Word of God, I mean, you can hoot and holler at fear as long as you want to. You're not going to dislodge it. It's perfected love that gets down to the root and snips it and flushes it out of it. The word translated cast means to flush. It literally flushes it out of there in acting on His word, and you're acting on that word and you're activating it, and I love my God and I love my neighbor, and I'm activating and I'm acting on that, and you're stirring up the gift of God that's on the inside of you, and the tide begins to rise. All that fear and all that trash is a bunch of surface scum. And it'll just come up there and finally comes to a place where it just flushes it out of there. And that's the moment when you rebuked it and commended it to go. And it just hiked it right on out of there, too.
That's right.
They got worried about this little woman that wasn't going back into the bomb shelters anymore. And they got afraid. They thought maybe she'd died or gotten killed or something. And they went over to see her. And they said, "We haven't seen you in the shelters anymore. How come you're not coming down there?" She said, "I don't like them places." And they said, "Well, okay, I don't like the way it smells in there. It's terrible, and I'm not coming back down there. You understand me now?" They said, "Well, yeah, but aren't you afraid?" "No. I found in the Word of the living God that He never sleeps and He never slumbers, and there's no use in the both of us being awake. I'm not coming down there no more." It was just a few days later, that whole block of houses got wiped off of the face of the earth except one. One little house, and she slept through the whole thing. I tell you, yeah, now. And that's the way God intended for the blessing to work in our lives. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to function. And that's the way that's what will signal you about fear. You start worrying. You start getting the least bit tormented about something. And the first time that thought comes across there, "Oh, you better be careful, you know. They're liable to steal your car." What? Steal my car? That'll be the day. That's my blessing. No. That's torment. But now, wait a minute. He that fears not developed in love. You just had a red light go off. Boop, 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 boop. Do something about it. Do something about it right now. In the first chapter, 1 John, it tells you exactly what to do. It's all laid out there. It's very plain. He said, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. He is faithful and just. The word just there means righteous. He is faithful and He is righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of it. The unrighteousness He's talking about is violating that commandment of love. I'm telling you, folks, the whole thing is wrapped up right there because the commandment of love covers all sin, all of the commandments, all of it is wrapped up in love the Lord thy God and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said it once. And then it's quoted again in other scriptures, particularly in the book of Romans. Amen. What a marvelous thing. So, what do we do? How do we fix this? We repent by faith, not by feelings. When we say we're walking in love, we're not just conducting ourselves in a love manner. We are walking in the light of His love for us and conducting ourselves in that light. We're walking in that love. Jesus said, I'm going to read that from 15th chapter of John's Gospel. You need to read this just every 2 or 3 days. You'll take that 15th chapter, 14, 15, 16, 17 out and read it. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. You keep my commandments and you live in my love. That's living, walking, abiding in love. Okay? You keep those my commandments and you will abide in my love even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Glory. Even as. Same level. Even as. You can live a life even as He lived it. He didn't violate it. But He is faithful and He is righteous to forgive us and cleanse us when we do. Which gives us in Him, in His love, gives us His sin-free status with the Father. Ooh, you need to learn how to do that. Oh, yeah. Your Father looks at you like you ain't never sinned since the day you got saved. Don't tell Him any different. That's Jesus' business. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior, and He's got me covered. But if I'm too dumb to partake of it, then I begin to walk in darkness. And the curse begins to spring up in my life. It doesn't have any right to, but that it does it because I opened the door and allowed it to because I refused to walk in this light right here. Ah, but when you repent by faith, it doesn't have anything to do with your feelings. It has to do with what He just said. You say, well, God, I mean, I sinned. I messed that up. I shot my mouth off. I'm guilty. And I confess it before you, Lord Jesus. I confess it before you. But now I immediately confess. Because now listen, Lord, I want to remind you something here that you keep the Father's commandments, do you not? You do, don't you? You walk in His love and you keep His commandment. Oh, that means that you got to love me as yourself. I am your neighbor, Jesus. Now you can... Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Amen. Then you flip over to Isaiah 43:25. I am He who blots out your transgressions for mine own sake. Well, I know He did it for my sake, but He said He did it for His sake. I told you this. I think it's Monday night. I believe it was. I told you. I said, Lord, why do you say you do that for your sake? He said, do you like to remember bad things about your children? I said, no. He said, I don't either. I have blotted that sin out. The moment you released your faith and the moment you activated my word, See, when He says He blots, He blots. He doesn't just kind of move it around and say, well, you know, I just kind of blot. No. He wiped it out. Gone. That page is empty. But the next verse says, put me in remembrance. Declare that you may be justified. I said, Lord, what's that mean? He said, Kenneth, I have blotted out that transgression. The moment you exercise your faith, the moment you confessed it, and the moment you believe you receive it, it doesn't have anything to do with your feelings. It has to do with the words of Jesus. He said, I blotted out that thing out of my memory, and I am offering you a blank page in my memory. Now, fill it up with what you want me to remember about you. Remind me how you're blessed. Remind me how you heal. Remind me of my word. Fill my mind up with your redemption. Fill my mind up with what the cross has done for you, with who you are in Christ Jesus. Fill my mind up with that. You fill up my mind with the things you want me to remember about you. Ooh, I got busy. Glory to God. I remember the time it got so real to me. I did something stupid, and I went before the Lord. I was preaching a meeting down in Florida years and years ago, and I repented in a hurry. I said, "Oh God, how dumb! I don't know, no. I repent of that. I repent of that." And oh, I felt terrible. Whew, I felt bad. And later on that afternoon, it just kept getting worse. I mean, I just got to feeling like the most terrible thing. And finally, I said, Lord, I ain't going over and preach tonight. You just have to get you somebody else. I ain't going. He's just as plain. I mean, just as plain as I'm talking to you. I don't know whether it's audible or not. I don't imagine you'd have heard it if you'd have been there. But I heard it. I heard it all over. Amen. He said, what are you talking about? I said, you know what I'm talking about? What do you mean what I'm talking about? What I did? He said, doesn't my word say that I blot out your transgressions? I said, yes, sir. He said, doesn't my word say I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sin when you confess them? I said, yes, sir. He said, Kenneth, for you to stand there and talk to me like that and bring that back up into my face and tell me you're not going over there tonight is in bad taste. That's an insult. Oh, then I felt worse than ever. I said, oh, Lord, what? Oh, Lord. He said, you're yielding to the physical, natural symptoms of guilt. He said, that don't mean that you're not forgiven or not cleansed. It means that you hadn't done anything with the guilt that's after you. And then I saw the separation between the two. And I said, well, I'm not going to put up with that. I'm not going to listen to that. I rebuke the symptoms of guilt and sin. I am delivered from it. I'm cleansed. I'm an innocent man in the name of Jesus. And I'm going over at night and I'm going to preach the gospel. Glory to God. I'm going to walk in the light and I'm going to walk in the blood and I walk free. Hallelujah. Well, I still felt doggy about it, but it started lifting off of me. And by service time, it was just about gone. And I just started laughing and praising God and rolling all the care of it over on the Lord. I said, Lord, I ain't going to bring it up no more. Praise He said, I appreciate it. I really learned something that day. Amen. Now, same thing works the other way. When you forgive somebody, you do it as an act of your will, not because you feel like it, not because of anything other than the fact that you know it's right and you are not willing to turn that blessing loose in your life in order to hold something against somebody else as an act of your will. I mean, I've done it, man. Just say, listen, it's against my will to hold anything against that person. Now, I forgive them in the name of Jesus this day, this hour. They are forgiven. Amen. And then you go on about your business. Well, and then somebody mentions their name. Or you see them on the street somewhere. And, you know, down on the inside of you. That's right. And, you know, the first thing you think, I'm going to walk over here. I ain't going to walk by that idiot over there. And then you think, oh, no, man. Lord, I thought I forgave him. You did. What you did was an act of faith It was an act of your will. It was an act of obedience. Now you've got symptoms of unforgiveness that you need to deal with. That's over in your flesh. It's over in your mind. But the devil sure would like to get you over into that and get that in your mouth and tear down that forgiveness that you did a few hours ago. You just said, no, I have forgiven him. I have forgiven her. That is a matter of record, and I'm not picking that up anymore in the name of Jesus. Praise God. And the more you say that, the more my Father loves me, and I love them. I keep my Father's commandment. Every time you say that, you remember now, it's perfecting love every time you say it. Every time you can't do that or say that and release faith in this word without the word being made love, without the word being made the battering ram against fear. It has to work. Your feelings are way down the line. Abraham considered not his own body now dead, neither the deadness of his wife's womb, but only that which God had promised. And he was fully persuaded he was able to perform it. I am fully persuaded that God is able to keep us in a cleansed, forgiven state as we walk in the light, as he is in the light. And this blessing can come to that overwhelming place that God intended for it to be. Can you say amen?
Julie Fields of Wickenburg, Arizona, has been a KCM partner for over 28 years. Along with her husband, Don, she owns and operates a successful business, and together they have raised a large family. Over the years, this family has experienced blessings and significant challenges, but nothing to indicate that an unimaginable tragedy would rock their world.
In March of 2004, my precious 21-year-old son, Brett, was murdered. I just couldn't imagine this happening to my precious boy. You know, he's my son. I started praying in the Spirit. The next thing I did, after I spoke to my husband, I called my pastor. And he prayed for me instantly and said that he was going to get everybody on the prayer chain for me. The church was wonderful.
Let me ask you a little bit about your son. Was he a young man who had had trouble? Had he been in trouble? Did he run around with a rough crowd? Did you have reason to be concerned about him?
Yes, in a way I did. I have to say he had been in jail a few times. He was on a good road to recovery. He had had a drug use problem. He was over that. He was doing real well. He moved to this town where we were living and found some friends. And they were not the right choice of friends, obviously, that he thought they were.
After Brett's disappearance, a credible lead encouraged local law enforcement to work tirelessly to locate this young man. And after 3 long weeks, they found a shallow grave in the desert that covered the body of Julie's 21-year-old son. The investigation revealed that Brett had been shot and killed following a disagreement with 3 young men who were now considered suspects.
The sheriff's department did a great job. Between them and prayer, they did a great job. Within just a few days, they tracked them down in Montana, and they flew up there and found them and made the arrest. So it was very quickly we had the 2 arrests. The 3rd young man wasn't arrested until a couple months later.
How did you feel towards these young men, Julie, when you found out what they had done to your son?
Sometimes I still have those moments where I just hit my fist on the wall. I'm like, why, Lord? I just can't take it when I think of that, you know. But every time I get to that point, and especially right after this happened, it didn't last very long at all. The Lord would be right there. He just brought this scene to me of Jesus hanging on the cross, just beaten so badly. And he spoke to my heart. He said, I know the pain of losing a son. And that just instantly comforted me. At my son's funeral, I asked the Lord, I said, I want repaid 7 times for his life. I'm asking that 7 people will accept the Lord at the funeral. Well, my pastor told me that when all the heads were bowed and eyes were closed, that 15 people raised their hands to receive the Lord. It was wonderful. And I just thought, you know, Satan's the one who took Brett. We're not going to let him get us also, you know. And he very easily could have if we would have let it. But we did. We sang a strong worship song, and I thought, that's the one statement I want to make today. We are going to show the devil that no matter what happens, we will never quit worshiping. And the whole service was very victorious. When my mother first called Kenneth Copeland Ministries after this happened, they sent us some tapes and books on giving no place to the spirits of sorrow and grief. I knew that the Lord was going to take a very horrible thing and have good things come out of it. I don't think that was his perfect will for my son's life. He doesn't kill our kids. That wasn't him that did that. But my son had made some choices in his life. He had that choice. He's a sweet boy. He really was. He was a good boy. But he made some wrong decisions.
Well, recently you were forced to come face to face with dealing with one of the young men who took your son life. Tell me about that experience.
The man who actually pulled the trigger of the gun that killed my son was at a point where they were going to sentence him. He was convicted. And I went down to close to where he was standing, and I looked him right in the eyes. And I wanted to tell him a lot of bad things. But while I was up there and I looked at him, a teaching that Kenneth Copeland had done, and I had heard on tape about 10, 15 years ago, it came up in my heart, and I heard Kenneth's voice telling about when Jesus found out that John the Baptist had been murdered and beheaded. The way he retaliated against that is he went out and he healed everybody he could find. He didn't retaliate against Herod, who ordered the murder. He retaliated against Satan, the real enemy. And I looked at that young man and I thought, this is my one chance to make an eternal mark on that boy's life and to hurt the real enemy, the one who really killed my son, Satan. I said, I serve Jesus Christ. He teaches us to forgive those who hurt us. I said, I've been working for 2 years to get to this point. I'm not totally there, but almost. And I said, I want you to know that his forgiveness is there for you. He paid for that like he did all of us. I'll never forget what happened to him. I'll never forget my love for him. If anything, it grows stronger, just like as if he was here. But those spirits of sorrow and grief, oh, they can come in, and you need comfort at those times, and then they're there soothing you. But there has to come a time when that season is over, and to practice the joy of the Lord coming in. And he'll give it to you. He really will. I believe that when my son was killed and my tears came, I believe that God was standing right next to me and his tears were there too. He felt the sorrow as much or more than we did. He wasn't the bad guy. It wasn't him. God's the one that wants to do the comforting and the healing through these things.
Today is Offering Day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And when you sow, you're not just sowing into a meeting. You're not just sowing into a broadcast. You're sowing into a ministry that is affecting and touching people's lives. And of course, the Lord supplies our needs, but we want to give you an opportunity to sow into this broadcast and to sow into this ministry, so that you can be a part of the harvest. There's a big harvest coming just from those meetings this last summer. The harvest in the children, the harvest in the teenagers, and the harvest that even the broadcast that we've played from those meetings, the harvest is great. You can be a part of it. Father, we receive the offering that the people are offering to you today. We receive it in your name, and we will put it to work. Put it to use. People will get saved with it. People will get set free with it. And people will get healed and delivered and families changed. In the name of Jesus, Lord, this ministry is committed to that. And we receive it, and I ask you to bless them back a hundredfold return, Lord, on all of their giving. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you agree with that? I know you do. Go to church this weekend. Go where the word is preached. Go where you can take your supply and sow it there, and let the Lord bring you a harvest in your church. So go. Hallelujah. The word's going to be good. Next week on the Believer's Voice of Victory will be our Thanksgiving special. That's always so good. We don't want you to miss it. This is Kelly Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
This is the Year of the Open Door, and Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. For more information on this broadcast, today's product offer, or other ministry tools and resources, visit our website at kcm.org. You may also call toll-free 800-575-4455. Or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. As we celebrate 40 years of ministry, we believe for God's plan in your life and that you will walk through the open door of the blessing this year. Get ready to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland along with other anointed ministers from across the country and come together with believers from around the world. Join us at one of these life-changing meetings in 2008. Come to the Branson Victory Campaign March 6th to the 8th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Then to California for the West Coast Believers Convention June 30th to July 5th. This year at a new location. Join us at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Then head down to Texas for the Southwest Believers Convention from August 4th to the 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Come to the Great Lakes Believers Convention August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. For more information on these or other Kenneth Copeland Ministries meetings, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.